Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Awesome, all-powerful Creator God, we worship you. We worship you as the one who laid out the foundations of the earth and marked out its dimensions, the one who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from its womb, who made the clouds to be its garments, who sets the limits for it, and who said to the sea, "This far you may come no further. Here is where your proud waves halt." We remember when you watched your disciples struggling in the storm of Galilee, then walking across the water, climbed into the boat when they called out to you and commanded the wind and the waves to be stilled, and they obeyed. As the hurricane threatens the Gulf area, we are asking you to look on the residents of the Gulf Coast area. We cry out to you on their behalf. We know that the wind and the waves still know your voice. Command them to be still, please, for your glory and your great name. Even now, we ask that you comfort those in the path of the storm. Give wisdom to local, state, and federal officials. Encourage neighbors, friends, family to meet this threat together. Grant them mercy. Save them. Keep your promise that you said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." You are Emmanuel, God with us, facing this storm now. And so we cling to you in the name of the one in whom the winds and the waves still obey, Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the saddest things you can see in a person's life is the death of passion. The death of passion. It actually becomes really difficult to live without passion. That may surprise you coming from a pastor, because a lot of times our understanding of what it means to be spiritual or religious or going to church or whatever is that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to push down our passions. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. God is a God of passion and has created you to be passionate. So let me just ask you, on the journey that you're on right now, how's your passion? What are you passionate about? What are you passionate for? Is there something that gets you up in the morning? He says, "This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what it's all about. This is who I'm doing it for," in such a way that it just gives your life energy. Because when you lose that, and I don't know if you've ever lost that, but when you lose that, life becomes really very difficult. It becomes kind of ordinary and routine. It becomes kind of empty. It loses its energy in the most profound way. You know, a lot of things can cause us to lose our passion. Maybe we went for it and amazing things happen and we just got tired. And then now maybe we're afraid to be passionate again. Maybe we've been told that the world is frightening, and so rather than going for it, we push down our passion to the point that we've got it under control. Maybe you've tried some things and they didn't go really well and you got hurt. And so passion becomes this thing that you say, "You know, I just don't want to go there right now." But what I want to challenge you with as we enter into this fall ministry season, as we enter into this teaching year, is for you to understand that God is a God of passion, and he calls you to be passionate about something that you were created to do, and indeed something that only you could do. And when you see why you're doing it and who you're doing it for, it has potential to change absolutely everything. Now, one of the questions we need to ask ourselves, we're going to ask ourselves a lot of questions this weekend as we are here at church. One of the questions we're going to ask ourselves is there something in your life that you've gotten used to that you shouldn't be used to? Something specifically that maybe is stealing your passion, or something that, you know what, you're doing, and maybe it's even the thing you were created to do, but truth is you've been doing it for a while and now you're kind of mailing it in. How is your passion? How is your journey? What are you used to that actually needs a radical revival in it? And what we're talking about is this thing of change, right? And some of you maybe have given up on change, but here's the deal. Change is what life is all about. Struggle in change is what life is all about. And here's the thing that we're going to see in the scripture we see today, is that very often the struggles we go through, the struggles to change, to improve, to overcome, those are the things that focus our life. They create energy in life. They create passion in our life. And then when we start coming alongside other people who are trying to change with us, well, then life becomes this incredible adventure. It becomes epic. It becomes monumental. But when we play back and play it safe and only do the things we know we can do, well, then life is just kind of dull. It's ordinary, and our soul begins to die. It takes courage to be a person who is growing. It takes courage to be a person who changes. It takes courage to be a person who will embrace their passions. That's what this series is all about. Progress, not perfect. In fact, that's actually what our whole church is about. Our whole church is about helping people wherever they're on their spiritual journey take steps to know and become like Christ. Because here's the deal. If you were to know and become like Christ and then live in relationship with Christ as Christ would live in your context, in your area, and the thing that you were created to do, you would be absolutely amazing. And you would be passionate. And you would do that thing that you were created to do with such zeal and passion that it would be amazing. The scriptures say that at one point, Jesus went in the temple and he turned over tables, his disciples said, "Wow, he is worked up." And then they were reminded of a scripture that said the zeal or the passion of the Lord will consume him. That's what it said about Jesus, that Jesus was passionate because he was doing the thing that God had created him to do. Now, there's another individual in the scripture who also is kind of a model of passion. It's this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. And over the next 3 weeks, we are actually going to actually only look at one passage of scripture from one part of a book of the Bible. And the thing about this passage, it's just such a central passage to who we are as a church, and there's such power in it. We're going to add to it a little bit every week. But this passage is a passage of scripture that when the Apostle Paul wrote it, you could just feel the passion growing in him. I remember as a young Christian reading this passage of scripture, and I literally remember my heart beating faster. I just remember just saying, that is what I want. Because what the Apostle Paul found was something to live for. Now, let me give you a little background about who Paul is. Paul was a guy who had grown up, he had given himself to things. And the main thing he'd given himself was to religion. He was a Jewish leader. He was an expert in the Bible. He had done a lot of religious things, and he got passionate for it. He said he was zealous, but he was zealous for the wrong things. And so that's one of the things you have to learn about passion or zeal, is that it's not just being passionate or not being passionate. It's about being passionate about the things that really matter and bringing that passion to bear in a wise way. Well, Paul was a naturally passionate person. He was a person who was alive, but his passion was all about religion and rules and control. He was so passionate about his Jewish faith that when Christianity started, he viewed it as a threat, and he started persecuting Christians. And one day, he was on his way to persecute some Christians on his way, and all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in a vision in this bright light and literally knocks him off his horse. And now he's struck blind. And I always thought to myself, what was that like for him? Him thinking, man, I was so sure I was doing the right thing. And I was so passionate about what I was doing. And now I can't see anything clearly. Well, the story goes that God sent someone to Paul, and he healed his blindness and started telling who Jesus was. And what happened to the Apostle Paul is that when he found out who Jesus was, listen now, he started to discover who he was. When he started discovering the purposes that Jesus had, he started discovering the purposes that Jesus had for him. And when he started becoming alive to Jesus Christ, he started becoming alive. And that defined his life. And so what he wanted to do, what he writes, is a challenge for us to find the same thing in whatever thing we are called to do in our time on earth. We're going to talk about that over the next couple weeks. Just really important stuff. And indeed, we're going to talk about that thing of discovering what your calling is this entire year. It's going to be very good. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I was just about to chase a rabbit. I let the rabbit go. Okay. Still there. I'm going to let him go. Okay. So what the Apostle Paul has found was something worth living for. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. Incredible. So he said, you know what? I used to live for religion and all that kind of stuff. Now all that stuff is empty. But then he talks about what he's found. He said, what is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. That's how you know someone's passionate about something. When someone gets passionate about something, everything else quits mattering, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. We see it in small ways when maybe someone falls in love for the first time. And you know what? They say, you know what? I just think about her all the time. I just want to call her all the time. And all this kind of stuff like that. They get passionate about it, and maybe that's not the wisest kind of passion. Everything else falls. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I become so focused on Christ that everything else compared to it is just empty. It's meaningless. You hear the passion in that. He said, I consider them rubbish that I might, look at this, gain Christ. And what does he say he wants to do? He says, I want to know Christ. And then he says, I want to gain Christ. I want to become like him. I want to abide in him. I want Christ to be alive in me so the thing that I'm supposed to do in this life becomes alive as well. Now look at verse 9. He says, I want to gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. That is to say, a righteousness that I can get myself to God, or I can create my own fulfilled life, or I will know the right thing to do that would be pleasing to God. From the Old Testament law and religious scriptures, he says, instead, I want Christ to define that for me. I want Christ to give that to me. But that which I have, he says, I don't want that from the law. He says, I found it through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. Verse 10, listen to the passion, listen to the declaration. He says, I want to know Christ, because when I know Christ, there is the power of his resurrection. The power of Christ, the passion of Christ comes in me, and I start living with the resurrection power. And look at this. And the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. That is to say that I'm willing to struggle with this. I'm willing to suffer with this. I'm willing to pay a price for this. Because anything worth being passionate about is worth giving things up for. It's worth going through something difficult about. It's about taking a risk. And so he says, I become passionate about it. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing his suffering, that I might, look at this, become like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. And so what I used to be, I want that to die. I want to join him in death so that something new might come alive. And so to paraphrase that little passage there, he says, you know what I want that I'm passionate about that will change everything? Everything I'm called to do, everything in terms of how I'm supposed to live, he says, I want to know Christ and I want to become like Christ. I want to know Christ and I want to become like Christ. That is my passion. Well, let me just ask you, what are you passionate about? And is it that? Because here's the deal. If you're passionate about something else, one of the things that I just want to warn you about, if you're passionate about anything else, that passion, even if you get it, is going to disappoint you. It's going to either burn you up, use you out. But one of the worst things that happens is you actually get that thing you think you were passionate for, and you find out how empty it is. And then life becomes despair. Or you say, you know what, I'm afraid of passion. I'm not going to be passionate for anything, because if I get passionate, I might get disappointed. I might mess up. I might fail. I might get hurt again. So you know, I'm not going to be passionate for anything. But here's the deal. When you become passionate about Christ, about knowing him, becoming like him, he becomes alive in you, and then he transforms every aspect of your life. He transforms your relationship. He transforms, you know, how you do your job and how you think about every aspect, relationships, wealth, parenting, marriage. All of it is transformed when Christ becomes your passion, because you want to know him, a living personal relationship, and you want to become like him. It sounds a lot like our vision statement. If you ever wonder where we get our vision statement, we got it from the Bible, actually. So here it is. Funny that, being a church and all, you know. Now look what it says again, and this still stirs me. This still is worth my life. I mean, this still makes me say, I want to get up in the morning to help people do this. That wherever people are on in their spiritual journey, whether you're in a good place or far or not a good place, whether you're close to God or far away from God, whether you're up or whether you're down, whether you get it or whether you don't, if there's parts of your life that you have together and others you don't, wherever you are at in your journey, we want to take steps together. So it's not about accomplishing all of it all at once, following all the rules, religious systems, but taking steps, that is an intentional choice to say, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna follow my passions to know and become like Christ.
and then to do the things with passion that Christ has called me to do. I want to take steps, look at this, to know and become like Jesus, just like the scriptures say. You see, this is the passion of our church. This is the heart of a church. This is what we call you to all the time. And so we ask people all the time, you know, we're all on a spiritual journey. We ask you, where are you on your spiritual journey and what's your next step? Where are you on your spiritual journey and what's your next step? I've joked with people for years that if you don't like those questions, you're going to hate this church. If you're looking for a church that just kind of does the same thing year after year, day after day, you know, kind of thing, and same kind of thing, and doesn't challenge you, doesn't talk about difficult life issues, you're going to hate it here. Because our passion, what causes us to bring those things forward, is that you would know Christ more and that you would be like Christ more, because the more you do that, the more amazing you become. And the more glory God gets, just an awesome thing. Now, one of the big things I want you to see in this message series is I'm not just talking about doing more stuff or following more rules. I'm talking about making progress, an intentional effort. Because for some of us, it's been a while since we put any intentional effort into growth in our life. You're going to be challenged by that in this series, in this season especially. But in that, you need to understand what we're talking about is progress, not perfect. I don't know about you, but I'm something of a recovering perfectionist. I'm something of a person who say, you know, if I can't get 100%, I don't want to do it. You know, you might be the kind of person to say, if it's not just exactly, then you know what? You know what? I just don't know that it's good enough. But one of the things that God has taught me over the years is it's not about being perfect. It's about making progress. And what you need to celebrate is how far you've come. It's an art. It's actually one of the keys to emotional well-being. Looking back and saying, you know what? I have come a long way, because most of us are saying, look how far I have to go. This isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right. We can all do that. Instead of looking back and saying, you know what, I don't struggle with that anymore, and I'm past that, and that's better, and this has changed, and I'm not like that anymore, and to celebrate the progress. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about it. I just love these verses. Philippians 3, verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained all this. He says, so now that I've got it all figured out, I don't fully know Christ. I have not fully become like Christ. You know, if any of you have, you should find another church, because we are going to slow you down, okay? Just so you know, okay? But here's the deal. He says, now that I've attained it, look at this, but or have already been made perfect. Do you see that? I've not yet been made perfect. Look at this. But I casually just hope God will do something or get my attention. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. He says, I press on. You're thinking maybe to yourself, Paul must be like 19 and full of idealism. This is towards the end of Paul's life. This is passion that lasted a lifetime. And the very last thing we have of what Paul writes, he says, I have run the race. I have finished the course. I have gone for it. I press on. Look at this. To take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I'm pressing on to take hold of Christ and to be like him and to accomplish the purposes he has in my life. Whatever that may be, in whatever profession or calling or ministry or whatever else, he says, I am intentionally pushing myself that I might make progress. Because in this life, it becomes just so easy to say, you know what? I've pushed enough. I've done enough. I've gone far enough. And let me just warn you about that. That may sound great to you. And you may say, you know what? I just want to take it easy here for a while. But what you're going to find when you do that is eventually you start finding yourself first getting discontent. And then you start getting yourself grumpy, and you just find yourself unfulfilled. You're just doing the thing you know you can do day after day, week after day. You're not pushing yourself. You're not trying new things. You're not trying to accomplish new things for God. Just kind of mailing it in. Eventually, you get grumpy. Then you get discontent. It'll lead you all the way to depression and despair, because you were made to take hold. You were made to have passion. You were made to go for it. And when you don't intentionally take steps to grow, you don't understand. The struggle to grow gives us focus, gives us passion, gives us power to live. It creates joy. And when you get in a community of people that are trying to grow and trying to accomplish good things, great things for God, in our community, in our church, among our kids, whatever it is, you know, in the business community, when you do that for God, knowing Christ, man, it gives life a passion. And when you think you've reached the point, say, this is far enough, that's a really dangerous place, that I've accomplished it. What if you went to another level. Verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Look what he says. He goes on. He says, but I'm going to start straining and pressing on. Look what he says in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, okay? And that's both a positive and negative. I'm not going to look back and say, look what all I've accomplished. I'll celebrate it. It's just awesome. And I'm just going to rest on that. Or saying, looking back in some kind of shame or guilt or fear that's going to keep me from pushing forward. Forgetting what is behind. Straining. Hear that word? When was the last time you strained for something? That you were passionate about something enough that you would straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, which is Christ Jesus. That thing God has called me to do, to know him, to become like him, and to live my purpose in this life in the most profound way. And so the challenge is for us to ask ourselves, what are we taking hold of? What are we passionate about? Or have we just kind of plateaued off? Are we mailing it in? And listen, I'm not talking about just going out here, getting all excited, fired up after a sermon. I'm talking about asking deeply, and maybe it's been a while for some of you, been around here for a while, what's your next step? See, that's a dangerous question. It's a powerful question for you to take and say, what is my next step? I mean, if someone actually asked that question and you really honestly answered, would your answer be you know, gonna get dinner after church, I guess. That's just, you know, Packers are on tomorrow. Yeah, this is excited down there. Passion. It's one of us, right? Yeah. That's the sad thing, too, is we'll give our passion to things that don't deserve it. I mean, I'm cheering for the Packers, too. Don't feel bad about that. I'm all there. But here's the deal. There's things that are worth our life. There are things that are known. Big question. What is my pursuit of knowing and become Jesus like? For some of you, is it antagonistic? That is to say, have you developed a negative attitude about becoming like Christ? I've tried, I've failed, shouldn't have to do that. You know, it's not fair enough, whatever. Is it indifferent? I'm amazed how many Christians are indifferent about their pursuit of Christ and Christ's likeness and Christ using them in the world to do good things. Is it stale? That is to say, you're doing the same things you've done before and you're wondering why you're not getting different results? Yeah, okay. Inconsistent? That is to say, you know what? Because you don't have other people in your life walking with you, you kind of sprint, stop, go back, you know? Is it intentional? Now, that's the big thing about our purpose statement, is we meet you where you're at, but man, we're going to challenge you. We want to walk with you. We want to take next steps. All the way to this last one, is it passionate? Is it passionate? Because when you find something to be passionate about, that's when you come alive. And maybe for you, it's pursuing Christ in such a way that it changes the way you run your business, or you do your job, or you teach in your classroom, or you pursue your education, or you help that hurting person, or you do the thing that you were created to do. You do it with passion because this is the thing that you do with and for and in Christ. You know what I want to challenge us to do in this season as a church is I want to challenge us to take a fresh look at the five commitments, okay? This is the five things that we ask you to do around here at Jacob's Well. And these are not random things. I could show you in the scriptures, but we don't have time and I won't show all you the verses, but there's like 20 for each one of them and more than that for each one of them. These are the five things. Hear this now. I'm not just throwing words at you. This is truth. These are the five things that if you do these things in a regular, habitual, non-legalistic way, you will become like Christ. But if you don't do these things, you just can't become like Christ. So an honest routine evaluation of these five things in your life is essential for you to grow, for you to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, a growing person, for you to rediscover passion in your life in the most powerful way. The first one is worship. Worship is what we do when we recenter ourselves on God. All the other five commitments flow from worship. And this, we're going to talk about this over and over again. It's going to hit us really hard. We're going to do Corinthians here in a couple weeks. But it's the fact that we believe God is over our head. And because he is over our head, that changes everything. We have an obligation to him. We have a response to him. You know, this is the deal. If our church didn't do any other thing but worship God, we'd be doing the main thing. This is the central focus. This is, and you want to talk about passion. You know what you're passionate for? What you worship. You're passionate for what you worship. And so for you to do some hard work, what am I worshiping? If it's money, you're passionate for it. If it's a relationship, you're passionate for it. If it's sports or whatever, you're passionate for it. When your worship life expands, your passion for God expands. As we fall in love with him again, as we see who he is, as we pursue him in the most wonderful way, it's what we do here. It's when we sing those songs and we let them speak to our heart and so much more. Our church is actually doubling down on this commitment. We're taking huge steps in the next year. Not just what we're building in terms of creating a new and bigger and more effective worship venue, but our worship staff is asking deep questions about how we can call people into worship in an everyday thing. So here's a practical step. I'm going to have a couple practical steps for every one of these five commitments. The first one is this, is that we're having a special night of worship on September 22nd at 7 p.m. It's a Friday night, and this is going to be a night just completely dedicated to worship. And maybe you're coming, you say, I come here, I don't know much about worship. Well, come and practice. Come and practice on this night, because we are just going to meet God and we're going to call out to God and worship deeply as Chris and the team are leading us September 22nd. So worship. How is your worship life? What are you worshiping? The second is grow. This commitment, we call you to grow. Some people say, boy, I just need someone to feed me. I just need someone, you know, to give me the stuff. Well, let me just encourage you to pick up a spoon. Okay? If you're 28 or 30 and you want someone to feed you, okay? Some of you have been Christians for a long time. You need to learn how to feed yourself. How in the world am I supposed to do that? Well, you can start with the devotions, which we write every week. You could start with this new thing that I'm so excited. Let me throw it on the screen. It's Right Now Media. You say, what's Right Now Media? Well, it's like Netflix for discipleship. There's literally thousands of life-changing devotions and Bible studies and points of study on this. We're kind of taking you say, how much does it cost? It's free. The church has already paid for it, so you can have it. And so this is available, and you can look in your preview, and you can find out how to do it, and then you can find something. I could do this discipleship. I could do this devotion. We could do this small group. It's an incredible gift from God that you could do. In a couple weeks, we're starting the book of 1 Corinthians. You could start reading that now in preparation. You could go down to At Home and find a devotion, but you could take an intentional step. Say, you know what? I'm not going to wait for someone to spoon feed me. I'm going to start growing, because our goal is not for you to come here and learn from Paul all the time. Our goal is for you to learn how to feed yourself, for you to become a self-feeder. The third one is belong. That's just the truth. You want to, one thing to just kill your passion is isolation. It's being all by yourself. It's the old illustration the old preacher used to use. I remember it from when I was first a Christian. You got a roaring fire. You take one of those coals out of the fire. What happens when you put it over here? Does it get hotter? It goes colder and colder until you put it back in the fire. We need each other. You say community's hard, a bad group experience, didn't find the right one. Keep fighting. You say, well, it feels like a strain. Did you just see the scripture we just read? Straining, pressing on, intentionality. Is it worth fighting for? Absolutely it's worth fighting for. So those people are a mess in community. So are you. Get with them. You can all work it out together. It's worth fighting. We got a small group rally. We have like something like 100 groups and so many open groups. And if you're a person who says, I've been in a group, I've been a leader, we still need some more leaders, particularly some men to lead. And you know, if you've been a leader, you know who gets the most out of leading a group. The leader gets the most out of leading a group. Say, that's my step. And I've been passive. Time now for me to get just passionate about it. Why don't you know? We're just so doubled down. We're doing better quality groups than we ever have before. Just so good. Adult groups are over on this side. And we got groups especially for youth over here. Youth group, we're doing groups unlike we ever have before. It's deeper and more profound than before. If you're in the North venue, there's two tables. One for adults, one for youth. But you could go out there and you could find a group. It's just going to be awesome. The fourth thing is serve. We call people to serve. And actually, it's not just serving here at the church. I actually feel like serving here in the church is practice for the real game. The real game is out there. So if you learn how to serve because you're around really cool people who really know a lot about serving here, they serve from the right heart for the glory of Jesus. You become like Jesus, because no thing will make you more like Jesus than serving. Jesus did all these five things, by the way. No thing will make you more like Jesus than serving, because he was the suffering servant. And then you go and you serve in your marriage or in your workplace or in your school or in the community or when a disaster happens. man, that just makes you like Jesus. You get so much from serving. It's amazing. And the last is share. That is to say, share the presence of Christ, the message of Christ, the story of Christ that has touched your life in the most profound thing. Let me go back to serve one thing because I didn't give you a specific step, and I got a specific step. We got coming up. Serve tours and discover journey. Discover your journey. So what's a serve tour? It's when you can go on a weekend, you can see all the different things. There's like 50 different things you could do around here. You could go on one of those. You say, what's discover you? It's when you take a hard look on how you're wired, personality, just temperament, all those kinds of things. What are you created to do? That will not only serve you in helping you find a place to serve at Jacob's Well, it'll help you in your marriage and work and all kinds of things. Powerful way. So again, a step you could take. We're like on step like 30 you could have taken already. And now share. What share? It's this incredible message of Christ that we get out. We tell the story. We tell our story. We explain what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross in the most beautiful and simple way. And then we do acts of righteous service to other people just for the love of God. It's about serving people in the most wonderful way. Two specific steps you can take. One is, I just want to let you know, you can get a list of these at the Connection Center if you want it. We have some incredible, we have more wonderful ministry partners in the Chippewa Valley who we partner with, who you can partner with. And this year we're going to be highlighting them and inviting them in more than we ever have before. One of them has been a partner for a long time. It's Apple Pregnancy Center. Well, this next weekend they have their Walk for Life. You could do that, you could support it, and that would be you serving and sharing in the most wonderful way and supporting this incredible organization. And what Grant already mentioned in announcements is the other thing, is you could come next Saturday morning, and we're going to be doing some training, and it really is, shouldn't say training for Houston, it should say whole southern part of the United States, because here's the deal. If you haven't been paying attention to what's been going on down there, there are 300,000 people displaced. Let me just say that again. 300,000 people displaced. There are parts of Houston that are still underwater. The water hasn't gone back. And there's another hurricane coming up the Florida Peninsula, right? And so for months, and indeed years, they're going to need people who will go down there and say, what would we do? Well, we would cook food for people who don't have food. Well, what else would we do? Well, we would set up daycare centers so that they could go in and they could go back to their homes and do work and someone watch their kids. You set up a shower system because they have no place to shower. You could go in and you could mud out. You could help them dig out in a safe way because some of it's toxic stuff, so that you could do that in all kinds of different ways. And it's going to take just all kinds of service. So this is not something we're going to do quickly, like tomorrow, but this is something we're going to do over months and even years. The training is next Saturday. I'm actually, this is one of my next steps. This is a step that I'm taking right now in my life so that I can be part of this incredible thing. So there's all kinds of steps. So the ministry year is about to start over, gang, and it couldn't be more exciting. And one of the things we try to do is we try to create so many opportunities for you to take steps, whether your step is an issue around worship, where, say, I need to deepen my worship life. I just need to take a step. I need to read a book about it. I need to do some online stuff. I need to come to that worship night. Or whether it's about this thing of grow, where you say, you know what? I'm not doing anything to pursue Christ. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not doing devotions. I've kind of mailed that all in. Well, I'm going to start something. Maybe even it's just a small step, but you take that step. I'm going to go to that Right Now Media, or what's it, Belong? You know what? I'm isolated. And I'm alone. And I feel it. I'm starting to get mad about it. But you know what? It's no one's fault. No one's responsibility but mine to change that. It's about serve and saying, you know, I want to get out and do something for someone other than myself because I'm just sick of being focused on myself. Or this thing of share, that I want to communicate the gospel, my word and actions. I'm going to take a step. The five commitments change people's lives. One of the people who came to church, back to church actually, a while back, was a wonderful person, Bailey. And I want you to hear a little bit about just a simple story of how the five commitments absolutely changed the life of this person, who's very angry, but truly is one of the most joyful people I know right now. Let's listen.
My name is Bailey Bear, and I started coming to Jacob's Well this past January when I was in a dark time before coming to Jacob's Well. I just hated people, and I hated kids, and I hated family, and that was something that I had loved growing up. I loved kids, I loved my family. And so it was really weird, and it was hard to be in that time. And coming back to my faith in J-Well, I experienced just this whole heart transformation and like my eyes have been opened and my heart has been opened again to see how much love I truly have for kids and how much love I have for family and just people in general in the church and ministry. I started getting connected in small groups, met a bunch of people that way, built great community, met awesome people here, started getting involved in serving. I served with the media team, and then I wanted to start serving with the youth, and I absolutely fell in love with the youth. I had the opportunity to go to the middle school youth group summer camp this past summer, and it was just super life-changing. Like, just seeing these kids, like, be so in love with God and so in love with community, and it was just amazing. There's so many examples that I could go through, but during worship one time, I was standing next to one of my students, and she just was singing, and I could just hear her voice, and she just leaned on me and, like, grabbed my hand, and it's just things like that, that it's like, they're so in love with God, and it's so awesome to see that, and so awesome to be a part of their journey, too. I think when I think of worship, I automatically think of music, just because I feel so close to God and just so in His presence when we do worship as a church or even just myself alone. But just being able to be there and raise my hands and just feel Him around me is so powerful. I have experienced growth in so many ways here at Jacob's Well, but through small groups and having that time to connect with others and then hearing what they have to say and then going home and reflecting on that yourself and using the devotions that are available every week has really allowed me to just dive into the Lord's Word and just discover what He's trying to speak to me. I think sharing has been super influential since I have returned to faith and returned to the church, just with my friends and my family, just to see this change in me and notice it and be like, hey, like, you've changed, like, what's up? And be able to just dive into them and explain, like, what God has been doing in my life and why I'm this way and how awesome it is. The grace that He showed me through just people and circumstances and reading His Word was just tremendous. And it was life-changing, and I am glad to say that I came here and experienced those things, and it changed my life in that way.
So I'm going to dismiss you. Don't just slip out. Don't just slip out. Take a step. Find out about training for disaster relief or get in a group. Find out to discover you. There's a step for you to take this weekend. No one's going to attack you and make you do something. They're just going to give you the information. But hey, the ball's in your court. Pick up a spoon. All right, we'll see you next week.